Well, if you had to pick one word to describe the character of a Christian, I wonder what word you would pick. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years and you've known many Christians, and you can perhaps bring to mind the character of those you've known and pick some words to describe them. Hopefully positive, maybe some of them negative. Or maybe you're looking into Christian things, you're thinking things through, you've been invited here by a friend, and I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of a Christian. Well, there are lots of things that can come to our mind when we start thinking about it. Lots of options open to us. Might be you'd select one of the fruits of the Spirit that the Bible talks about. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Are they the kind of words that would describe the Christians that you know? Maybe, yeah. Caring. I mean, there's so many, isn't there? Perhaps you could choose one of the characteristics from our series looking at the book of Proverbs. When we've been thinking about things like trust, we're going to go on to talk about generosity and justice. Being faithful, exactly. There are so many different words, different things that we can think of when it comes to describing a Christian. But I wonder if one of the words that came to the top of your list was the word that we're considering today. Shrewdness. My guess is it probably isn't the first thing that you think of when you think of a Christian. In fact, it may not have appeared on your list at all. It's not the kind of word that we would instantly associate. Even if we're thinking of all the negative stereotypes of Christians, shrewdness probably isn't top of the list either. So as we think about this topic today, we might start to scratch our heads and think, well, is this really a Christian characteristic? Is this the kind of thing that we ought to pursue in the workplace? And so as you begin to think about it, you might not think of the book of Proverbs either as the first place to look for shrewdness. Because if you've read the entire of the book of Proverbs, as I imagine you all have, probably not. But if you have, you may know that the word shrewd or shrewdness actually doesn't occur at all in the book of Proverbs, at least in our version that we've got in front of us today. So you might begin to look elsewhere and think, well, what does the Bible have to say about shrewdness? And you find that shrewdness isn't always viewed in a positive light. Jesus told a parable about a shrewd manager. But in that parable, the manager uses his shrewdness for worldly gain. And it's certainly not clear that Jesus is using it as an example that we should follow exactly. I was called shrewd just this past week by the rector of All Souls, as it happens. And I wasn't entirely sure whether I should take it as a positive thing. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been called shrewd. It's the kind of thing that you might stop and think, are they insulting me or are they complimenting me? It's the kind of word that sort of has that connotation. So why on earth are we considering this topic? And why are we looking at the book of Proverbs and this passage in particular to do it? Well, it is because the Bible gives us actually two perspectives on what shrewdness is. One is positive and one is negative. One is an example to follow and the other one is an example to avoid. And the wisdom of the book of Proverbs teaches and illustrates these two perspectives again and again. So let's look down at our passage for today from Proverbs 14, page 648. And let's start by thinking about this negative example to avoid. And what we find in the book of Proverbs is that wisdom warns against shrewd scheming. Shrewd scheming, that's the negative to avoid. You see, one view of shrewdness, and maybe it's the first view of shrewdness that came to your mind, is overwhelmingly negative. So if you call someone shrewd, chances are you may well be insulting them, perhaps not to their face. It's a word that conjures up a picture of someone who is, well, spiteful and vindictive, perhaps. Someone who plots behind others' backs, plots for their own gain and others' downfall. It's a word that kind of conjures up a person who is crafty. And I don't mean someone who's very good at knitting or woodwork. Someone who is crafty in their scheming. Yeah, Dickens is a great example of that. He has loads of examples of those kind of slightly twisted upon themselves kind of characters. And maybe you can think of someone like that at work. They're the kind of person who is very able and intellectually bright, but too often their skills are applied to manipulation and to power politics, as well as the creative and profitable endeavors. So I wonder, this view of shrewdness often occurs in the book of Proverbs, and it speaks to this attitude of shrewd scheming. So look at verse 17. I'll pop it up on the screen as well. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. The fool is the person without godly wisdom in Proverbs, without an attitude that follows God's ways. And here are two attitudes of the fool. The first is the ill-judged response. The quick temper that speaks and acts without thinking, causing harm and regret. But the book of Proverbs helps us to see that equally harmful is the one who does act in a measured and thoughtful way, but in a way that is self-centered and not God-honoring. Evil, the book of Proverbs calls it, and the shrewd person who devises evil schemes ends up being hated. And again, I wonder if you've seen that in the workplace. You can think of perhaps the person who is very crafty at getting their own way, but they don't tend to be the most popular person in the office, do they? We see the wisdom behind this verse. And this is something we see repeatedly again and again in Proverbs. Chapter 6 refers to a list of things that God hates, and it includes a heart that devises wicked schemes. And Proverbs 10 verse 23 tells us that a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. So the wisdom of the book of Proverbs warns against shrewd and crafty scheming. But I think there's a real danger as we look at the book of Proverbs. Maybe you've seen that as we've looked already, and we'll certainly see it as we go on. And that is the danger that we see the kind of characteristics warned against here as something, frankly, like a pantomime villain. You know, someone who is dressed in black, wearing a mask maybe, plotting fiendish and evil schemes with a sort of long mustache that they twiddle as they cackle and plot and devise all these horrible, wicked things. It seems that way, doesn't it? As we read this, we might think, yes, of course the person who devises evil schemes is hated, but thank God I am not like that. It's easy perhaps to read these kind of words and sit back and think, well, that can't possibly be being referred to me. But as we read these words, we need to understand that evil and foolish in Proverbs are not only dastardly or devilish deeds. They are instead the plans and purposes that don't pursue God's honor, don't place him as the creator of this world, don't place him as the Lord over our lives, and instead pursue our own agenda and our own glory. And when we start thinking that way, we suddenly realize that we ought to be in view in these verses far more often than we think. See, I think the workplace is the most dangerous place for this kind of thinking. Shrewd scheming can be coated in the most justifiable language, can't it? Oh, it's just the way things are done round here. If you want to get noticed at this company, you're going to have to act just a little bit more ruthless. It's no good being so kind and generous. Everyone else is out to get ahead, so I better do the same. And you can't get ahead in business without making some enemies. Well, that person over there, they don't deserve the attention they're getting. You know what? I should take them down a peg or two. See, the danger is that we can be swept along by the world, the culture that we're in, and shrewd scheming, though depicted in such a sort of evil and twisted way here, can easily seem the right and normal way to go. After all, I deserve to be noticed, don't I? I deserve to get the recognition within the company. And you know, that's just the way things are done around here. But Proverbs has another warning for us here in these verses. In verse 12, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. shrewdness that schemes can be such an easy thing to do. It can be an easy thing to be swept into. It can easily seem to be right, but it is for us to be avoided. Well, if that's the case, what does positive shrewdness look like? If wisdom warns against shrewd scheming, wisdom also urges us to shrewd thinking. Now, you see, when we think of shrewdness as craftiness and scheming, it's easy to think about why we would avoid it as we are Christian believers. But if we come to, it might come as a surprise to hear that the Bible refers to God as being shrewd. So here are some words from Psalm 18, verse 26. It says, "To the pure you show yourself pure, but to the devious you show yourself shrewd." And those are words that are addressed to God. And here in the psalm, God is addressing the very devious schemers that we've just been considering, the kind of twisted people who are out to get their own way and do whatever they can to do so. And his response is to be shrewd to them. And Jesus encourages us to do the same. He talks to his followers, his disciples, and tells them to be shrewd. In Matthew 10, he says, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves." And can you see, this is a related but different kind of shrewdness that the book of Proverbs, indeed the whole Bible, is encouraging us towards. It's godly shrewdness that is about astute, wise, and clear thinking that shows good judgment. And I wonder, can you see the relationship between the negative shrewdness and the positive shrewdness? Both kinds of shrewdness are to do with our thinking. But while negative shrewdness thinks carefully about how to pursue my own gains, godly shrewdness thinks carefully about how to pursue God's purposes in his world. And Jesus warns us that we will face dangers if we're willing to stand up and be counted as his followers. We'll face dangers in a hostile world that is against him, and indeed in hostile workplaces. We are to be careful in our dealings in the world, but not to be consumed by it. We are to be as innocent as doves, but as shrewd as snakes. We are to be careful, but never consumed. And it shouldn't come as a surprise that this kind of shrewd thinking is something the book of Proverbs refers to again and again. So look down with me at verse 8. "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." Or again in verse 15, "The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." Do you see how both those verses have a similar theme? We are not to believe anything, and we are not to be deceived easily. And I think that is a tremendously helpful corrective in a post-truth, alternative facts kind of world that we find ourselves living in. But in our workplaces, we are not to go along unthinkingly with the culture and practices of our places of work. Instead, we are to think carefully and critically about what is expected of us, about the way things are done, and about the way in which we are to act. We are to think carefully about the way we live. And that is what godly shrewdness is all about. The writer David Foster Wallace began a commencement speech at his old college with an illustration. He put it this way. He pictured two young fish swimming along one day when they meet an older fish. And the older fish asked them, "How's the water?" And one younger fish looks at the other and says, "What the heck is water?" And Foster Wallace explains the story this way. He says, "The point of the fish story is merely that the most obvious, important realities are often the ones that are hardest to see and talk about." Stated as an English sentence, of course, this is just a banal platitude. But the fact is that in the day-to-day trenches of adult existence, banal platitudes can have a life or death importance. And I think the book of Proverbs would agree that this is life or death importance about how we think about our day-to-day life. The wisdom of Proverbs urges us to be shrewd in our thinking, to not go unthinkingly along with the world in which we live, but to think carefully about our lives and about our actions, about wanting to honor God in what we do, and to be aware of the dangers that we face. So how do we do that? Well, simply put, the book of Proverbs encourages us to fill our minds with godly thought, to engage our minds rather than disengage them and put them into neutral. Or, as the Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon puts it, with these words, "You will not be able to extemporize good thinking unless you have been in the habit of thinking and feeding your mind with an abundant and nourishing food. Work hard at every available moment. Store your minds very richly, like a warehouse. Then, like merchants with crowded warehouses, you will have goods ready for your customers. And having arranged your good things upon the shelves of your mind, you will be able to hand them down at any time without the laborious process of going to market, sorting, folding, and preparing." He says, take it as a rule, without exception, that to be able to overflow spontaneously, you must be full. And I think that's a great picture. I think the picture that the book of Proverbs echoes, that we are to fill our minds, as it were, with warehouses of godly thought. We'll never drift into that. We need to be deliberate in it. We are to fill our minds with godly thought so that when we engage with the world and the workplaces which we live, we have a plentiful supply of godly thinking which we can pull off the shelves. We are to fill our minds with godly thoughts. And above all, that means the thoughts of God from His Word. And you know what? The book of Proverbs is a wonderful book for that. I joked earlier whether you've read the whole of the book of Proverbs. But actually, I don't want to joke about it. It is a great book to continually come back to. It has practical, godly wisdom for living day by day. And you may have noticed, or someone has already pointed this out to you, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And most of the time, we have around about 31 days in the month. Occasionally, you get a little bit shorter one. But why not think about reading a chapter of Proverbs each day, every month? It doesn't take very long. Just a few minutes. In fact, you could split it up, some in the morning and some in the evening. But to fill your minds with godly wisdom, to train ourselves not to be shrewd in the ways of evil scheming, but to be shrewd in thinking about God's purposes. But whatever way we do, and I wouldn't say that as a sort of thing that everyone has to do, but whatever way we approach things, to ensure that we are filling our minds with godly thoughts so that we are thinking shrewdly about the way in which God wants us to live. Let me pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. We thank You that You are a God who reveals Yourself and Your mind to us. And we do ask for Your forgiveness for the times in which we are easily swayed into shrewd scheming of wanting to get our own way and doing whatever we can to do so. Instead, direct our hearts and our minds, we pray, to think Your thoughts after You and fill our minds with godly thoughts from Your Word. To Your glory and praise, we pray. Amen.